This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
3 o'clock hour. Very excited this hour. Rob Pizzola is going to be back on the show. It's been a minute. You know, football season ends and it's not a ton of gambling stuff. I mean, I can't have Pizzola on every week to talk about Matt Mervis home run games. Like, he doesn't roll that way. So
he's not going to be a fan of this gambling approach.
Yeah. So we'll have to talk hockey with Pizzola, but I'm excited because he's in Toronto. He's a Maple Leafs fan and we enjoy talking sports with him regardless. So we're going to have Rob Pizzola on. We have boots on the ground in Toronto. Rob Pizzola will join us this hour with a pick for tonight, maybe for the series, and some analysis on Panthers, Maple Leafs. Let's get headlines here so we don't get caught behind. Headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Champions League second leg, semifinal, Arsenal, PSG just started 6 minutes in. PSG leads 1-0.
I believe Chris Whittingham on that call today.
Oh, he's on this game also?
I believe so.
Huh.
He was on the game yesterday.
He was, yeah.
Crazy.
I don't think he's on the call for today, Hawk.
You know what? Now that you say that, I think you're right.
He posted a picture with Ray Hudson yesterday about how that was their final call together. for the 24-25 Champions League season.
You're right.
So,
yeah. You're right.
The Marlins are going to play in an hour, and man.
Queso.
Yeah. Abuelo.
Grandpa screaming Diet Coke.
I was curious why she was looking at me so confused. You know what I mean? I'm very good at enunciation. You cannot have misunderstood what I said. Queso and chips and a diet soda. Like, I mean, why are you looking at me so confused?
But
I think when you get old, you get things in your mind that you're going to say, and no matter what the response is, you're going to say them. Because I do.
But that's not the case. Only because I wouldn't have blurted out after. Like, I felt like she put me on the spot. Do you want to start with something? Because I wasn't even ready yet. And so I felt on the spot because all I said was, can you put the Marlins game on? And then I figured she'd go, okay, I'll come back with some water and whatever. Because, like, you know, like, Whittingham wasn't even there yet. So I was just sitting alone. So, and then she's like, well, do you want something to start? And so then I felt like I was on the spot. So I blurted out chips and queso, which, by the way, I didn't even want. I never get chips and queso. What have you ever seen me order chips and queso?
First off, it's exactly what I said, Hawk. You anticipate things as an old person. And when they go wrong, I do this all the time. Elevator opens, somebody walks on. Hey, how you doing? Fine. No, they was like, hey, how are you? Fine, and you? Good. I'm good. I'll say I'm good twice just because I don't expect them to ask again, and then I nut up.
And then you're stuck.
Yeah. I think it's like when you're old,
it's like when you go through TSA and they say, have a nice trip. You go, you too.
You too.
Yeah. Where am I going? My shift doesn't end until 4.
I'm going to Earl of Sandwich on my lunch break in about 2.5 hours.
Yep.
I know what happened, though. Hawk doesn't like to listen to young people. Like, Hawk just tunes me out for 75% of the show. I've noticed this.
Well, if you were wearing, though, the Twin Peaks outfit, I might be more apt to pay attention to you or less attention to you.
And as I get older, I hate long stories.
Mm.
Like when you ask somebody, hey, what'd you do? You know, oh man, beautiful car. Well, let me start at the beginning. So my father was a mechanic. Right. I don't want to hear that crap. Right. Just tell me where you bought the car.
I know. I don't have time for that either, except I have more time than I've ever had, but I don't have time for it anymore.
I don't want a lot of information. My mind is, you're old, your mind is packed with things.
Yeah.
Young people love
information. I got enough stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me what time the game starts, lady? Yeah. Just put the Marlins game on. Here's the, I'm tempted to play. By the way, we're at Twin Peaks and I love Twin Peaks and they're a great partner of ours. And so I'm not criticizing the restaurant because they did everything right. This woman was a little off. All right. Just telling you, she was a little off. Not blaming them. The food was terrific. You know what I get there. I get the salmon and broccoli every time. It's why we went there for dinner. They have great salmon. So I say to her, after we get through the queso and chips thing, can you put the Marlins game on? She says, what time does it start? And I was there. It was like just before 7. And I said, it's already underway, 6:40. And I'm looking at it on my Yahoo, like my CBS Sports game tracker, because I want to watch Mervis bat. I've got money on Mervis. He's going to come up in the second inning because he's batting 5th or 6th. I think 6th last night. So she says, okay, let me go see if they can turn it on. You know, like he was on bowling or something on my TV. She walks to the back. The channel changes at my TV to NESN, New England Sports Network, Red Sox game in a rain delay. Okay? Now, my right hand to God. This is what, in fact, on my Instagram, there's video because Chris Whittingham was a hero last night because I was just going to eat it and he got fed up after a while and he got the channel changed, which is why I say Twin Peaks did everything. Like they've, so it's Radio Mark Hockman if you want to see heroic Chris Whittingham at work. But she comes back. She goes, did they put the game on? And I said, well, they put a game on, but not the Marlins game. This is a Red Sox game, and it happens to be in a rain delay. And she says, oh, it probably hasn't started yet then. Well, now you're playing with fire, lady. I mean, like, because now Mervis is coming up. I'm already embarrassed at the chips and queso situation. Now you're just going to assume that I got the time wrong, right? Because I'm the old guy who thought you said, what do you want to start with? So she goes, it probably hasn't started yet. I go, well, it has. It has started because they're in the second inning right now. So it has definitely started. She argues with me. Well, it's not even 7 yet, so maybe it hasn't started yet. Okay, maybe it hasn't started yet. I don't know. She goes, I'll double check. That my right hand got now. Whittingham sits down, you know, whatever. She comes back. We've got my chips and queso. We've got my soda. And delicious chips and queso, by the way. That's my new go-to app at Twin Peaks. So
great food.
Yeah, great food. So she says, did they change it? And I go, no, it's still the rain delay. Like it's clearly in a rain delay here, and it's clearly not the Marlins game. And she says, we probably don't get that channel. That's and again, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. You know my radio bit on this stuff. I'm just ready to throw in the towel. And Whittingham's just not having it. And he's like, well, no, you get that channel. And she's like, well, we obviously don't. She was very argumentative. She's like, well, we obviously don't. And Witty's like, well, no, you do. And so now I interject and I go, it's the same network that the Heat are on. And I know you air the Heat games here during the season. So I'm pretty certain that you have FanDuel Sports Network. She's like, well, if you want to go talk to a manager, you're welcome to.
Oh, goodness.
Swear to God, that was the response. And again, I'm just like, what's the difference? I don't care. Like, so I put my phone on the table. I'm just watching my DirecTV stream on my phone. As annoyed as I am, whatever, you know. And Whittingham wasn't having it. And he went back, talked to a manager, and got... Because Whittingham said to me, what do you think they have here? And I said, it's probably DirecTV. And he said, do you know what channel FanDuel is? I'm like, it's 654. And he's like, all right. And he walked off, and as he was gone, it came right up on the TV. And then she came over to like take credit for it. She's like, oh, they got the game on.
I don't know, Hawk. As you lay this story out, I think it might have been a little flirtatious banter. Did you have on the quarter zip?
I did have a quarter zip. No, I had my Bournemouth hoodie on. Maybe she was a Premier League fan.
She might have wear. She was trying.
Maybe she had just watched Witty on the Champions League, and I'm there where maybe she thought I was Ray Hudson. She thought it was Witty and Ray Hudson.
Seems like she just won a little battle.
Well, if that was flirtatious banter, I am out of practice, man, because that did not register on my flirtatious banter chart.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. When dudes, women, anybody come up to me and they ask a dumbass question, and you know they're just trying to get a conversation started, they know I played ball or whatever. Hey, what are you doing here? At Publix? I'm trying to play some roulette. You know where the tables are? Like, but you could tell they just want to start a conversation.
Right.
I always look down at their hand to see if they're married. Because if this is your conversation starter in Publix, I know you have no game.
Well, it's funny. So I still believe at age 55 that I've got it still. I feel like I can close any deal, even though I've been married 27, 28 years. Lori's out of town last week or the week before. She's in Seattle for work. So I go sit at the bar at Beer Garden to watch a Panthers game. And that's in Boca. I sit now. The day before, I had lunch with Whittingham and Appel, and I was telling them how I've still got it. Like, you know, listen, I know you guys are younger, but when you have the gift, you have the gift, and I still have it. The next night, I'm sitting at Beer Garden, got my drink, watching the game, and I'm eating spinach dip. And a bartender comes over, prettiest person in the place. She's not my bartender. She comes over and just leans down. She's like, how are you? Or you having a good, something like that. You having fun, or you watching the Panthers? And I'm like, I am. You having a good night? And she's like, you have cheese dripping off your chin. My right hand to God. She came over to tell me I had a big, long string cheese coming off my chin.
Come on, abuelo. You still got it?
I still got it.
Yeah, that was for you.
I know. It was like, yeah, like, what are you doing that moment? Like, I swear to God, she was drop dead gorgeous, was not my bartender, came over, and I literally am thinking to myself, this is amazing. I still have it. Like, people just want to talk to me, and then once I start talking, I can spin my web. And she came over to tell me specifically I had a big thing of cheese hanging off my chin.
You ain't got it no more, Pops.
I ain't got it no more. It goes quickly, boys. Enjoy it while you got it, because it goes.
Hang up the quarter zip.
I got to hang up the quarter zip.
Oh, yeah. I lose it, too. Now, if anybody talks to me, I just try to get stuff from them. It's ridiculous.
Tough to get old, man.
Hey, Mr. Crowder, 3D, how you doing? So I can only get two vodkas, or can you give me three vodkas? Huh? We're not even serving drinks yet. Okay.
Enjoy it. Enjoy your youth while you got it, boys.
Y'all have the red sun chips or the orange sun chips?
You handled that very well, though, because once a waitress or a waiter, whoever, becomes argumentative about a game changing a channel, when you know they have the channel, that would just drive me nuts. Like, I'd rather the person tell me, hey, look, I really don't want to do this. Can you just watch it on your phone?
No, it wasn't even that. Or say, I don't know why I can't get them to change it to that. Like she was literally just trying to make me feel as if I had everything wrong. I had the start time wrong. They don't get the channel. And I wanted to explain to her, like, why do you think you would get Nessun and not the local regional sports network. Like, why do you think that's even a possibility? But obviously, I didn't want to go down that track. And also, I felt like I was very close to a cheese on the chin situation again, and I didn't want that to happen twice in 2 weeks.
I will say, Hawk, I love you, man, but you can't be the guy saying, I love the salmon and broccoli. Oh, but my new app is the chips and queso. Like, what are you doing there, bro? You're going to get chips and queso and get the burger.
I wanted a little something to nibble on, and what was I going to get? Asparagus spears? Like, there's only so many. So, listen, instead of getting a completely unhealthy meal, I got some chips and queso, delicious at Twin Peaks, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then I got my broccoli and salmon, so I didn't feel so bad. I would have felt terrible if I had had chips and queso and then a cheeseburger with bacon. Like, why would I do that?
Let me give you the good and the bad of that. You just said, I just wanted something to nibble on. That's an old person phrase.
Mm.
Nobody under 50 says, I just want a little something to nibble on. Grab a bite.
I did want
like
something
that.
To nibble on, though.
Like, nobody says nibble on. So that's the bad part. The good part is, for Solana's age people, and this young girl, I'm assuming, is in her 20s, they don't know how to communicate already anyways, because all they do is text people. That's why y'all can't talk to each other, because she has no communication skills.
I'm with that.
I disagree.
Like, Solana, y'all don't know how to work out any problem verbally. Hey, this is Nesson. Oh, no, Nesson is – that's New England Sports Network. Oh, okay. So I'm pretty sure we get the Marlins game because that's a Marlins. Like, the back
right,
and forth.
Right. You rely on AI, Solana. You rely on AI, and yeah. So did this lady.
Yeah. Turning on channel 654, Crowder. Yeah, that's a real problem. Why are you acting like this is a quadratic equation? It's 654 on a damn remote control. This isn't working out a problem. This is just somebody who didn't want to do their job.
And we could have worked that out if she was a little older and knew how to talk to humans.
I mean, listen, let's not talk about old phrases, though. I mean, I said nibble on some food. The guy just dropped the quadratic equation on you. I mean, what's going on here?
He got on his jean jacket. He's getting smart today.
Listen, go swallow another tooth, man. I don't know what to tell you. Cheese chin and tooth swallower. Rename the show.
So I saved my dignity, of course. No, I left it there on purpose. That was in my religion, this is a mating call.
You want a little cheese?
Right, in my younger days, I would have been like, "Oh, do you think you could wipe that cheese off my chin?" My older days, I just burst out crying.
Check, please.
Check, please.
We haven't brought you your entree yet, though. Check, though. Check, please.
I'll just go home and eat my meals on wheels. Don't worry about it.
Like Lori gets home, like, how was dinner? you're just
weeping, pouring tears.
I'm on the Odyssey nursing therapy site that we get with our insurance.
I hate her so much. I hate her so much. Hey, lady, you got a face full of food.
And so I yelled at her. I said, that's right. The cheese here is too watery. Someone go tell the – I left that there as a show. Someone can please go tell the chef to firm up the cheese.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, honey, how have you been? There's cheese on your chin, sir. Okay. Sounds good.
I did appreciate it, though. That was very solid of her to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everybody, like, who would say anything?
But the person that tells you there's something in your teeth that you don't, I'll do it to y'all. Like, if something's in your tooth and we're at a restaurant, I'd be like, hey, Hawk, man, you got something in your teeth. But the random human that walks up to a stranger to tell them there's something in their teeth.
But if I'm at a bar and it's a bartender, I'm okay with that. If it's someone sitting next to me, I mean, I wouldn't mind, but I would understand where, like, if someone's sitting next to me and they go, hey, you've got cheese hanging off your chin, like, pay attention to your own meal.
Man, leave me alone. This is my chair, that's your chair. We're in isolated areas.
But I always want to walk up to, when I see people wearing t-shirts, I'm walking behind them or any kind of shirt, and the tag is showing, you know, they have the tag coming up out of the back, I just want to tuck it in or tell them their tag is showing. Drives me crazy.
You know, one of my biggest rules in life is don't touch nobody. Don't touch anybody.
I tuck a lot of people's tags in when I'm out walking.
You're going to get beat up. You're going to rub the back of my neck in the middle of the mall?
Well, it's for your own good.
What I'm about to do to you is for your own good.
All right, let me give you a headline. The Panthers. The Panthers and the Leafs, they play game two tonight. Don't forget, Aaron Ekblad returns from his suspension.
That's right.
And Mackie Samuskevich is back in the lineup tonight. He hasn't played since game four in Tampa.
That is correct.
He's back in the lineup tonight.
And no Anthony Stolarz for Toronto.
No Stolarz for Toronto.
Ooh,
yeah.
Well,
so
what's
it's,
this line? We might be able to get us some money.
I know. I should have put it in yet. I think the Panthers were like -120 yesterday, but I think they're -135 today.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a little pricey.
Is it though?
-140.
-140. That I don't know. We'll ask Pizzola. But it feels pricey to me to be on the road against a team that was seated ahead of you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah. That seemed like to be a -140 favorite, but they're on their backup goalie. So I guess it makes sense.
Now I think I'm smart. The over backup goalie, there was nine. What was it? 5-4.
I like the over. I really do. It's 5.5.
Yeah. -120 though. The unders +100. Even money.
There was a trade in the NFL today. The Steelers traded George Pickens to the Cowboys.
Big trade.
Yeah, they got a third-round pick and a late-round pick swap. So you have two elite wide receivers in Dallas.
Not going to break it down X and O-wise, but I heard Ryan talk about this before. He talked about it today on ESPN. George Pickens is somebody that needs structure. Dallas has no structure. I don't know how this is going to work.
Interesting. Stephen A. was torching RC today about letting this happen.
Mason Rudolph.
Your weather from the Demesman.
I mean, they've really got all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket.
They have to.
So strange to me.
What was that big-ass 6'8" quarterback that we brought in around Jay Cutler's time?
Oh, Glennon.
Was it Glennon?
Is that who you're thinking of? The guy with the big neck?
Bosweiler?
Oh, Brock Osweiler?
Oh, yeah, Brock Osweiler. Yeah.
I was doing pregame at the time, and I'm just like, yeah, you know, big, strong, can make every throw. I knew good and damn well Brock Osweiler wasn't winning no games. Ryan knows good and damn well Mason Rudolph ain't winning no damn games. I know a guy here that works for the Heat that does the same thing Ryan and myself were doing.
Wow.
What happened? Where
Crowder's,
did he go?
Crowder's torching RC and out of nowhere, his connection
all of a sudden
goes.
He lost his connection.
Wow. By the way, Mason Rudolph beat the Miami Dolphins this past season. I just want to throw that out there.
That is true.
Your weather from the Demesman at Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. Your accident attorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy. Nice and sunny. Tonight the lows will be in the 70s. That is your weather.
Partly cloudy, nice and sunny. Seems like two competing thoughts.
Covering all my bases.
Rob Pizzola is going to join us next. Boots on the ground in Toronto. Cheetah Pompano, what a great spot to watch a game or a fight. They got HD TVs throughout the club and VIP areas and four stages of entertainment, and the most beautiful ladies in South Florida. Got all this playoff action going on all week long. Watch the games, basketball and hockey, at Cheetah Pompano or Cheetah Palm Beach. you know, Cheetah Pompano. They've got an amazing complimentary gourmet lunch till 3 p.m. every day, happy hour specials till 6, and a full dinner menu in the evening as well. Every day is a great day at Cheetah Pompano Beach. Make sure you visit Cheetah Palm Beach as well, and you can get all the details at cheetahsofl.com.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Crowder, did you find your tooth?
Hawk and Crowder.
In a minute since we heard this song. Very exciting. It means Rob Pizzola is about to jump on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Rob Pizzola is a professional sports bettor and the CEO of the Hammer Betting Network, a platform dedicated to sharp, no BS content across football, basketball, and hockey. Rob's also the host of Circles Off on YouTube, where he breaks down the sports betting industry from both an educational and lifestyle perspective, whether it's beating the market or exposing the nonsense. And there is a lot of nonsense in your industry, Rob. He brings a level of transparency that's rare in this space. You can follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
A lot of nonsense in the sports gambling space, and you are not shy about calling it out.
I'm definitely not. I think with regulated sports betting, when PASPA was repealed years ago, it brought a bunch of new bettors into the market who don't really understand the space. And that triggers me a little bit as like an old school type of bettor. So I've always worn my emotions on my sleeve. And if I see something I don't like, I will I'll talk about it. That's for sure, Mark.
I imagine you get some heat from people in your industry.
I do, but I embrace it. I've always been, you know, I've been a little bit of a disturber in my life.
You're an anti-establishment guy, I can tell. From probably your parents would acknowledge that, right? From when you were young, you were anti-establishment.
I definitely pushed the boundaries in my household. I laid the groundwork for my younger brother and sister to stay out late. You know, before cell phones even existed, I'd come home at 6 a.m. and my mother would be like, you know, where were you? And I was just like, you know, I was watching Punk'd at a friend's house or something. I'm not drinking in the park or doing drugs or anything like that, but you got to push the boundaries in life.
And that's if I was, it's none of your business, Mom.
Of course, I could do whatever I want. I'm a grown man at 18 years old, right?
All right. He's boots on the ground in Toronto. So not only is he a professional sports gambler, but he is a Maple Leafs fan as well. So let's get your take on what everyone was talking about yesterday, which is Anthony Stolarz, who's not going to be in net tonight. And we loved him down here, by the way. He was a great member of the Florida Panthers. Sam Bennett said yesterday that he talked to him, like he called him that night. What was your take on the actual hit? Do you think there was any shenanigans involved?
So I'll preface this by saying that obviously this goes back years now, right, with Sam Bennett. And Sam Bennett has a reputation around the league as being a dirty player. And that was from his time even in Calgary. He's known for slew foots, for going after the head. Obviously, he had that incident with Brad Marchand years ago where, you know, he kind of punched him, gave him a little sucker punch, knocked him out. There was an incident with the Leafs a couple years ago where he basically gave Matthew Nyes a rock bottom, I would call it, behind the net, gave him a concussion. And he's out of the series. So, you know, there's this perception around the league of Sam Bennett being a dirty player. And that weighs into the entire situation. Do I think Sam Bennett should have been suspended for the hit? I mean, don't air this in the Toronto market or else they might, you know, they're going to show up in my house and they're going to want to burn it down. No, I don't, because I don't think you can prove any intent there. It doesn't seem like it was a super dirty play. Obviously, there was some contact to the head at the top of the crease, but I don't think you can prove intent. The problem is when you've been building up this catalog over the years of going after people and hitting them in the head, then people are right to start to speculate whether or not there was intent. Even if it's Stolarz is a friend of his, even if they, you know, they played in Florida together and they know one another, I think it's fair for people to call that into question. So I'm not surprised he didn't get suspended. If I was Department of Player Safety, I probably wouldn't have suspended him for this one either. But you get these accusations thrown towards you when you have a history of doing something. It's like the boy who cried wolf type of scenario. So I don't know. It's a tough one. Toronto definitely can't stand this guy. I'll tell you that. He will get booed every time he touches the puck tonight. Wouldn't be surprised if the Leafs do send someone after him to fight him earlier on in the game as well, because you do have to pay retribution in hockey for these.
But they didn't step to him when it happened, which leads me to believe that they didn't think it, because they're so uber aware when people are in the crease near the goalie. Like that's when you always see the little kerfuffles happen. There was nothing.
There was also precedent, though, sent very early in that game one, where Max Domi received a cross-checking penalty for the Leafs, where nobody could pinpoint what it was on the play. He just ended up being like the third guy into a scrum, and they said, you're going to get penalized for that. And whenever the referee set that precedent early, you get less scrums over the course of a game, because the guy doesn't want to just take a penalty for protecting the goalie on that type of play. So it's really challenging. I mean, in real time, I'll tell you, like, nobody thought anything of it in real time. It wasn't until Stolarz is throwing up on the bench and they have to take him out of the game before we're rewinding the tape and realizing what had happened on that particular play. So I do think it was dirty, whether or not he should be suspended. Like, I wouldn't hand him a suspension. And the reason I do think it's dirty is just because Sam Bennett has, you know, he has a history of doing these types of things.
And Rob, does it change the series? Because Wall was not a Wall once he got in, gave up three goals. And like, does this change the series? And as a gambler, like, does this change it? Because 5-4 was nothing we expected.
Yeah. So if you look at the prices for game one of the series, right, the best number I could find on Toronto to bet was +105 in that game. Tonight I could find +130. So you can see the market is reacting quite a bit to Wall being in net instead of Stolarz. Personally, I think it's about a 2% difference going from Stolarz to Wall. Connor Hellebuyck was the best goalie in the league this year by a mile. I would argue that Anthony Stolarz was the second best goalie in the league this year. He only played half the season due to injury, but he was really good. With that said, Joseph Wall is not a scrub. I mean, he was 17 goals saved above expected this year. That would have been 16th in the league. So basically like a league average starter. It's not some sort of drop off to a backup that is a complete bum, which would happen with a lot of these teams in the NHL. Is a proven starter, could, you know, carry the team. He didn't look great, definitely, when he came in the first game, but it's not like the Leafs are going to a nobody in net tonight. So I think there's been a little bit of an overreaction to the injury to Stolarz. He is great, don't get me wrong, but this postseason, he's been fine, slightly above average, nothing crazy where they're losing a supremely elite goaltender. And if you were actually just to compare Joseph Wall's numbers to Sergei Bobrovsky this regular season, Wall was actually a far better goalie than Bobrovsky was in the regular season this year as well, statistically speaking. So it's not like the Leafs have this drastic drop-off in net. What I will say, though, is Joseph Wall struggles to find the puck on long shots. It's been the case for him all year long. Florida's very good at getting traffic to the net, screening, things of that nature. So if I were Florida tonight, I would be sending everything to the net from the point and just try to make him make saves early on, because that's been his struggle this career and this season, is working through screens. Stolarz is huge. He's 6'7". You know, he's looking over a lot of players that are standing in front of him. Wall is not as big of a guy. And that would be definitely a difference maker if Florida can get a lot of pucks to the net tonight.
Is there a play that you like tonight? Because we were looking at Panthers are -140 on our site, and the total is 5.5. And both of us kind of went a little gaga over the over. Any play that you like?
Yes. So I will say this as not a homer. You guys know me. I've come on many times here before. I've bet against my own teams. I do like the Leafs at the current market price tonight. I did bet them in game one. I thought they should have been favored, a small favorite in game one, and they were underdogs. And I think that the market has really overcorrected to this goaltending situation. Florida is a better team than Toronto. I think the Leafs will have to get good goaltending to win the series. But where we're at right now, there's kind of like this built-in, you tend to see this in game two, especially when the favorite loses, where there's this like built-in expectation that they are just going to automatically rebound. And that's not always the case. So I see value in Toronto tonight. I will be betting the Leafs again in this game. And it's not a homer pick. It's just what I think.
Did you bet the series?
I did not bet the series beforehand. I did not.
And Rob, it's funny because I've watched a lot of stuff about this this, you know, the Stolarz injury and all. Do the Florida Panthers, you know way more back than I do. Do the Florida Panthers, do they play nasty? Like, they kept showing all these times where the Panthers were hitting all these goalies like they're just – they're out of line of what hockey is. Do they really play nasty like that?
They do, but you almost have to in the playoffs. Like, the balance in the playoffs is playing that type of game and knowing what you can get away with, right? It's knowing when you can push the limits and not get called for pushing those limits, right? Brad Marchand has been an expert at that over his entire career, right? Second most penalties drawn in the entire league this year, and he's basically a third-line player at this point. They know how to muck it up and how to get calls working in their favor, frustrate the opponents. It worked really well for them in the playoff run last year, especially in the Stanley Cup Finals against Edmonton. That's the type of team they are. They're a physical team. I'm not saying they don't have skill. They have tons of skill with the Panthers, but if you look at their like elite players, Matthew Tkachuk, very physical, right? Sam Bennett, physical. Sam Reinhart, very good defensive forward. Even a guy like Alexander Barkov, very defensively responsible. He'll throw his weight around every now and then. So they do a really good job of pushing the boundaries, but knowing when they can get away with things. And as series go on, especially when you get to games 5, 6, 7, referees are calling way less. And some teams are really scared to take penalties. Florida pushes the limits. They finish every check. You know, if they take one or two penalties in a row, guess what? Now it's time to hit everybody at all times because they know that the refs are going to be reluctant to call a third penalty. That's something that they do really well, and it makes them so difficult to play against.
What about the total? You didn't comment on it. 5.5 do anything for you?
I think it's fair. I think it's a fair price. I will say I definitely lean over in this game. Again, it's still early in the series. What you tend to see over the course of playoff series is early on, referees will call a lot of things. The Leafs got 5 power play opportunities in game 1. I think Florida got 3. You will get calls that happen early on in the series. That's why I gravitate towards overs early in the series and unders a little bit later. I just think that, especially in a game where you get Joseph Woll starting, there's definitely going to be a pretty big defensive emphasis for Toronto tonight, right? And this is just a phenomenon that happens across sports. You think about the NFL, right? Backup quarterbacks look great in the first game that they play a lot of times because everyone ups their effort level just a little bit more. You don't have that starter in there. Same thing applies to hockey. You see it a lot. Whenever a backup comes in, the team knows the backup is in net. They don't take as many chances offensively. They're a little bit more defensively responsible. With that said, I mean, my fair value on the over 5.5 is like -126. So, you know, if you're betting it in the -120 range, I think that's totally fine.
So I was on a long heater. Crowder's on one right now. But I was on a heater for a while. I've gone cold. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've won a bet in, I'm not even joking, 15 or 16 wagers, which we know is mathematically difficult to do. But I think I have the slump buster for this afternoon. Marlins play the Dodgers in less than an hour. And I have this parlay working. Tell me what you think. I have Matt Mervis to hit a home run. Shohei, more than one or more hit. Valente Beloso, Marlins pitcher, over 4.5 hits allowed. And Beloso over 1.5 walks.
Okay.
Seems like a good slump buster, right?
Well, what does that pay? What does that parlay pay?
So it's +1,300, but I have a 30% profit boost added to it.
Got it. Okay, so you're using a profit boost, but at 1,300, that's an implied probability of about 7%.
We'll take your word for it. Like, we're not certain. Yeah,
so like if that's going to be your slump buster, a bet you're going to win roughly 7% of the time. I would suggest you maybe go back to the drawing board.
So you think like my strategy to bust a slump is flawed?
Okay, Mark, I need to know. When you go through these hot streaks and cold streaks, right?
Yeah.
Do you do anything differently from a handicapping perspective, or is it just the same thing?
Get in that zone. I'm Michael hitting threes against Portland.
No, see, here's where I'm going to go with this. What's happening over these long stretches is there's something called sequencing, right? So basically, you're flipping coins with your bets, but you're paying the VIG on every bet, -110. But sometimes guys are going to flip coins and they're going to get, you know, 8 heads in a row, nine heads in a row. You see this at the roulette table, black and red sometimes, right? You get these runs of like 13 black. This is what happens to you, but you believe that you're hot or you're cold. Yes, in correct. Reality, it's nothing to do with that.
I don't
you're
know.
You're just a long-term losing better, but your sequencing sometimes works out where you might think that you're hot, but you're not changing your process at all.
Like well, I'm not so certain about that.
Well, you just said it to me 2 minutes ago. You said you
I have lost this baseball season so far, and it's still early on in the baseball season. I've lost $36,000 on Matt Mervis home run props. Is that a problem?
I don't know what your salary is, Mark. So I can't tell you if it's a problem or not. I don't know if your mortgage is paid off. I don't know what's going on, but it could be a problem for some.
I'm teasing. But I do. Here's the thing. So I don't know if you're following the Marlins at all, but Matt Mervis, we adopted him as our player before the season started. I saw him in spring training and he came from the Cubs. My son's a Cubs fan. He's Jewish. So I like that. I like a home run hitter. I like someone up there taking some porn hacks and came out of the box. He's hit seven ding dongs. But the problem is, and we've had him on the show, and he knows that we're all part of the Mervis militia. Like it's become a thing. Unfortunately, now he's batting about 195. They won't play him against lefties. They've dropped him in the order from cleanup to seventh. And I have to keep betting him to hit home runs, though, because wouldn't I feel foolish if he hits one and I'm not on it?
Classic FOMO, fear of missing out. What's going to happen if he hits a home run and I get it? Fear of Mervis out, FOMO. Game? Well, you listen, yeah. I mean, he's batting 195. That doesn't matter if you're betting him to hit a home run, right? Who cares what he's batting, right? It's got to leave the park or it's not. I'm looking at these prices, though, you know, like plus four.
Plus 400 today.
Yeah. I got to tell you, no disrespect to Matt Mervis. I'm sure he's a great guy. I probably would not be betting him at plus 400. I mean, let's do a little exercise here.
But I'm already in too deep. You know what I mean? Like how can I watch him hit a home run this afternoon and not be on it?
Where's he batting in the lineup today? I'm just
probably six. He batted sixth yesterday. Let me see.
All right.
Six.
So he's six.
And they pinch
six.
Hit for him in the eighth because they always bring in a lefty closer. So he never gets that fourth at bat.
Right. Left-handed bat, likely going to get three at bats. So like probabilistically, like, How often is Matt Mervis going to hit a home run today?
80% of the time.
Okay, then you should definitely bet your plus four. But if we're rooted in reality here, I mean plus 400 is a 20%.
You think I annoyed my parents much when I was growing up?
when Rob just told you you have a 7% chance of winning this bet, did that sway you at all?
Yeah, I feel like I should have put more money on this because that seems like
ridiculous.
I will say, when you're down bad, it is better to to swing for the fences on a very small
swing
bet amount than it is to try to get it all back with one bet, right?
Right.
That's the most common mistake I see people make is they lose like 10 bets in a row. Let's say they're betting $100 a pop, they're down 1,000, and now they play one pick to win 1,000 because they want to get all their money back quickly and it escalates and gets out of control. I prefer your method of going like a little small bet.
$5, 28 leg parlay.
Yeah. Honestly, I prefer that. With that said, you could probably got to give me a little bit more than 13-1 on that parlay to bet it. Yeah.
All right. Tail me on Mervis today, though, just for a little fun. Tail me on Mervis. Come on.
All right. I will bet Mervis. It's a very recreational bet.
Guy is on the Mervis militia. Let's go.
You know what? You know what? I will say, even as a pro, I also do suffer from FOMO, fear of missing out. And
you'd be beside yourself.
All I know is that if Mervis hits a home run today, I'm going to get a text from you if I didn't bet it saying you should listen to me more often, Rob. I'm I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to be on board with you. Right. That way I can celebrate with you or I can blame you, which
either way you win.
Either way, it's a winning proposition for me. That's right.
We love Rob Pizzola. We have missed you over the last couple of months. We're excited for football season to return. We appreciate your time. Go Panthers and follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola.
All right.
First pitch about 43 minutes from now.
I'm betting this right after the show. Right after I get off with you, I'm betting it. I've searched for the best price in market right now. Plus 475 is what I'll be betting right now.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, I love being able to shop the market. Look at that. 475. They're giving away free money.
86 at bat, 7 home runs.
Don't you dare dismiss Matt Mervis. He's a friend of the show. And you're part of the Mervis militia. Like that, don't even. Don't,
I'm a part of a Rob the Numbers guy. Though. I want to throw some numbers to him. 86 at bat, 7 home runs. That's what we're dealing with.
You got to find the lefties in the Dodgers bullpen and give them the old Nancy Kerrigan treatment on the way into the stadium today. That way we could get a fourth at bat out of him.
We'll see you, Rob.
All right, guys.
Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. We went a little long there. We always do with Rob Pizzola. 4 o'clock hour's coming up. It's going to start a little bit late. 4 o'clock hour's coming up, though. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I think the reason people go to games is to see monster dongs, no?
That's one way to describe it.
Hawk and Crowder.